here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Zach's Friday Finish Line. As always, I'm Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's, joined by my trusty editor, Maddie Johnson.
Hello. Today is Friday, August 17th. And we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. It was a tale of two global macroeconomic headlines this week, with the Turkish lira crisis hogging attention on Monday and on Wednesday as mounting debt issues in a standoff between presidents Erdogan and Trump resulted in a tit-for-tat tariff hikes.
Yeah, those are two guys you love to see go at it because neither of them are going to back down, and they're definitely going to say a bunch of controversial stuff that's really not good, but whatever. That was enough to spook investors earlier this week. But then on Thursday, stocks surged as representatives from China and the U.S. announced that the two sides of the so-called trade war would indeed resume trade negotiations later this month. That'll be the first talks between the U.S. and China in 2 months. So progress, any news is good news or something like that.
But still, indexes open lower on Friday morning, as I like to think, in mourning for Aretha Franklin, who died on Thursday out of just respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. But as Wall Street seemingly refuses to break out of the range-bound trading we have seen recently. But with that in mind, let's tackle a few of this week's major earnings reports. We're still cranking them out. A lot of big retailers.
Yeah, we'll get to the major retailers later in the show, starting here with the major tech report. It's NVIDIA. They kind of are late for tech. It feels like we're over tech, and then they come in.
Yeah, so we have like the huge FANG people.
That's early.
And then like a lot of the random, like, NVIDIA was this past week. Salesforce still has to report. They're always like at the tail end. It's just random.
I think I wish everybody would get on the same page. is what I'm saying. So anyway, NVIDIA was Thursday afternoon. The company's non-GAAP earnings per share came in at $1.94. That's up 91% from the year ago period and ahead of Zacks' consensus estimate by a dime. Revenues up 40% year over year to $3.12 billion, which beat the Zacks consensus estimate as well. Looking at primarily growth across the things we're always talking about with NVIDIA, so that's GPUs for gaming, professional visualization, data center, and the Tegra automotive division, and then continuing to gain traction in the artificial intelligence space. So nothing new, really, is what I'm saying, because that's typically what we're talking about as key growth drivers for NVIDIA. However, kind of the storyline here is that NVIDIA foresees no contribution from cryptocurrency mining-specific products in the ongoing quarter and considers it to be have an immaterial effect in the second half of the year. Really interesting because NVIDIA has shied away from really talking at all about the cryptocurrencies. You know, it's something we've seen contribute as much as 10% of overall revenue to rival AMD. NVIDIA has always kind of measured it much lower than that, and they kind of shied away from really commenting on it specifically. Obviously, they get asked questions by analysts, but they came right out in the earnings release and said this kind of was a bit of a drag, and we don't think that it's going to have any sort of effect in the second half of the year. Really interesting there. Either way, just breaking things down more specifically, GPU revenues up 40% year over year. Again, strength in the gaming unit, the GeForce GPUs, and then on the data center side. Specifically for gaming, revenues were up 52% year over year, and that's on the back of strong demand across all of its gaming segments. So that core gaming business definitely healthy for NVIDIA. The real storyline here, though, is kind of sluggish guidance for the ongoing quarter. NVIDIA expects revenues of $3.25 billion, plus or minus 2% on that, for the third quarter of fiscal 2019. The Zacks consensus estimate heading into the report was at $3.37 billion. So a bit sluggish compared to prior outlook, and NVIDIA shares were down as much as 4% shortly after the opening bell today as a result of that. So mixed results from NVIDIA, as we said, one of the last major tech reports here this earnings season, and one that Wall Street is always fascinated by. So
yeah, watching NVIDIA.
Kind of pivoting from a not super well-received report to a very well-received report from Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart crushed it. Investors, hashtag, loved it. Yeah. Loved it. So adjusted earnings for Walmart of $1.29 per share came ahead of the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.21 and surged 19.4% year over year. Meanwhile, total revenues advanced 3.8% to roughly $120 billion and also comfortably surpassed our consensus projection on that front. E-commerce sales in this segment jumped 40%, which was up from a 33% rise reported in the first quarter. Notably, the company now has grocery pickups in more than 1,800 locations and is on track to reach nearly 40% of U.S. households by the end of the year.
That was what we talked about last week when we talked about the Amazon Walmart stuff, the Amazon
Whole Foods pickups,
yeah, Whole
right?
Foods pickup thing. Okay. It's very similar. That was kind of what I was alluding to when I said that they're borrowing ideas from each other, because
sure.
Walmart has been really cranking out these grocery pickup things. 40% of U.S. households will be able to. Isn't it something like 90% of U.S. households live within 30 miles of Walmart? It's something like
that. That's got to be.
The numbers I'm mixing up a little bit, but that's just like outrageous stuff. Yeah.
I mean, Walmarts are really everywhere outside of really in most of America.
Yeah. We don't have a full size Walmart in the whole city of Chicago.
Like
the neighborhood market thing.
Yes. Like the city Walmarts.
Urban Walmarts.
The urban Walmarts. Yeah. There's one in East Lakeview that I know of for sure that's still operating.
Yeah.
And there was one like in the River North-ish neighborhood, but I think that closed. I don't know.
These are the neighborhood market things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think that it's still true that there's not a full-sized Walmart in the entirety of New York City, which to me is crazy because like, there's so much of everything in New York City, but yeah, they just don't have the room for them in major areas.
No, you really have to have the space.
And then they came, they said, no worries, we'll just come up with this new store design and put
right.
them in. So.
So the Walmart US segment recorded net sales growth of 5.2% to $82.8 billion in the quarter. US comps, excluding fuel, jumped to 4.5%. Nice jump there, which marked the company's highest growth in more than 10 years.
That's Walmart, a decade.
Yeah, that is a decade. Walmart international sales went up by 4% to $29.5 billion. And Walmart's investment in Flipkart, which is in India, like the huge like e-commerce company there, is expected to conclude soon as the Competition Commission of India issued an unconditional grant for the same on August 8th. So all said, the company now expects consolidated constant currency net sales, say that 10 times fast in a row, to grow 2% in fiscal 2019, with U.S. comps anticipated to grow roughly 3%, up from at least 2% growth expected earlier. So really nice report from Walmart, really showing nice sales growth and really putting Amazon on notice. Like full blast.
a beat and raise quarter at the end of the
really
day.
Really
like
which to is, see that from Walmart.
You got to have it in today's market. So
yeah.
All right. Speaking of earnings from retailers, we also had the department stores come in this
dun,
week.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this is another thing which is everybody's on the same page in the department stores. You'll get all the department stores in like 3 or 4 day stretch.
Yeah.
So we'll do some of the major ones. Start with Macy's. Shares of Macy's fell 16% for the day after reporting.
Just outrageous.
It's earnings, yeah. Well, we'll get to maybe some reasons why here in a second, but that was Wednesday before the bell, and then the shares fell. That 16% was throughout the day Wednesday. Macy's was able to post adjusted earnings of 59 cents per share, which beat the Zacks consensus estimate by a dime. Retailer provided strong guidance and now expects full year adjusted earnings between $3.95 and $4.15 per share, which is a 20% increase from its previous guidance and comfortably ahead of the Zacks consensus estimate prior to the report, which was at $3.88. The main concern, I think, was sales. Net sales totaled $5.57 billion in the second quarter, which missed the Zacks consensus estimate of $5.62 billion, and it was also down 1.1% from sales in the same quarter last year. That being said, I think at the end of the day, Macy's shares were up 60% on the year ahead of the report. So maybe just a slight adjustment there. Maybe they are just like, hey, got a little ahead of ourselves. Maybe still a little bit of concern here on the sales side right now. And we'll just we'll pull the stock back a little bit. 16% on an earnings beat in the earnings raise quarter seems a little bit overblown to me. But hey,
well, here's the thing with department stores.
What do I know?
Because if you aren't like perfect in the age of Amazon, I mean, all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
And excuse my French on this podcast, but like,
you could say hell on the podcast. We could probably swear more than we do. We've never had this conversation, but I don't know. Speaking of all hell breaking loose, though.
But I mean, you need to be in tip-top shape if you're a department store nowadays.
Right. And here's, I got one for you where they're not in tip-top shape, and that's JCPenney.
Well,
a struggle.
They are struggling so much.
Our boy Marvin Ellison, he's chucked the deuces up. He's off to Lowe's. He said, I've had enough of your underperformance. He didn't really help much, but yeah, it's been rough at JCPenney, and you can fill us in on the results there.
I mean, granted, I have not been in a JCPenney in probably
That's what I'm saying.
Which is 10 years.
We love the anecdotal evidence on the show. I haven't been in a JCPenney in 10 years either. So,
I've only been in a JCPenney to go into a Sephora.
Well, okay, yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's basically the only thing they got going for them.
Is their Sephora partnership.
Yeah.
Anyways, JCPenney shares plunged roughly 27% during the trading hours following the company's soft second quarter 2018 results. The retailer posted an adjusted loss per share of 38 cents, which was much wider than the Zacks consensus estimate of a loss of 8 cents. Meanwhile, total revenue of $22.83 billion decreased 7.8% year over year and also fell short of our estimate. Comparable store sales inched up 0.3% in the quarter, which was up from a decline of 1.3% recorded in the prior year period. But the company lowered its guidance for fiscal 2018 and expects an adjusted loss in the range of 80 cents to a dollar per share. The company had earlier guided adjusted earnings to range from a loss of 7 cents to earnings of 13 cents a share. So, I
mean, not good.
It's not good for JCPenney right now, especially when you have peers like Macy's and Dillard's doing fairly well and really making a turnaround and making a comeback and seeing customers returning to the stores and buying. So I personally do not know what JCPenney can do.
Well, I'll tell you this much.
Then you also see a fellow department store like Bon-Ton, which is Bergner's, Carson's, Yonkers. I don't know if you are familiar with that department store chain.
Yeah, no, I got them. Yeah.
Yeah. They went bankrupt.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next point.
So it's like, well, you see them going bankrupt. Rupt.
You
Why
got
can't
it.
I say that word?
No, you got it.
It's like, what do? Do they have? They either have to get it together, or they need to file.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is the stock. It was down 27%, as you said. I don't know if you've taken a gander at the stock price, but can't go much lower without getting to zero. So it seems to be dire straits for JCPenney right now, and that's a huge guide down. Like, significant guide
very
down
significant
to,
yeah.
to losing 80 cents to a dollar per share. You know, I don't want to say the B word myself. You went to the B word, but the B word,
I
the
didn't
B word
go
might,
to the B word. I'm just saying
the B word
look
might
at
happen.
One of its peers went there.
Right. Or this could this maybe be like a private equity firm swoops in
maybe to save
situation.
It.
Yeah.
But like they really need to get an activist investor to come in.
Well, I don't even think that they've filled the CEO position yet since Marvin left, as I said. So it's a mess. It's mess.
Well, our Tracy Reinick, who's like another retail expert, quote unquote expert here. Maybe we just like talk about retail.
Yeah,
she was like no one even wants to come in to fill the they can't even get someone to fill right. their CEO never a good position, sign. Which never is not a good sign.
No. So yeah, messy, hashtag messy at JCPenney, as you would say. Things a lot better, though, at Nordstrom.
AKA my favorite department store.
Again, I love the anecdotal evidence. I love a Nordstrom as well.
My current lunch bag is a Nordstrom shopping bag.
This is one thing I always share when we talk about Nordstrom. My mom lives in West Michigan. There's mm-hmm. no Nordstrom around where she lives because it still has that like air of kind of like luxury and premiumness. And when she comes to Chicago, like a thing that she does every single time is go to the Nordstrom. So when she visits, there's always like a 2-hour chunk of time devoted to her being at the Nordstrom because that's like a destination for her. So I always
absolutely
love to share that because that's still happening. And I feel like that's the thing that Nordstrom still has that not a lot of these department stores have, really, if anybody else but them. But shares of Nordstrom jumped nearly 9%. So doing the opposite of what Macy's and JCPenney were doing. After delivering solid top and bottom line performance in the second quarter, earnings per share at 95 cents, outpacing Zach's consensus estimate of 84 cents per share. That was up 46% year over year. Total revenue advanced 7.2% to touch nearly $4.1 billion. Kind of a tale of two sides of the story. To Nordstrom, full price sales, which includes the full line, the Nordstrom, regular Nordstrom stores, Nordstrom.com, its Canadian stores, Trunk Club, which I think is based here in Chicago. I know people that work for it. So I think
there's a boutique here in Chicago. Yeah, I think there might be other boutiques located, but it's like a more like an on, I think it's an online.
Yeah, it's a subscription service. For those who don't know, you like have a stylist and then they send you stuff. It's not really a subscription thing.
It's definitely a styling service, right, though. You get, like, literally, it's like a trunk.
It comes in a trunk, yeah. That's where it comes from. So that also includes the Jeffrey and Nordstrom local stores. So, again, that's the full price sales. Those were down 5%. Comps up 4.1% in the quarter. So,
you mean all of my trips to Nordstrom haven't paid off for the company yet?
Well, let me tell you. Your trips to Nordstrom Rack have been doing fantastic. Off-price sales, and that includes Nordstrom Rack, NordstromRack.com, Houtlook, and Last Chance. I wasn't familiar with either of those two things.
Houtlook?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Is, yes. So, great app to download.
Okay. It's an app. Okay, got it.
So it's like one app. You can also access NordstromRack.com through it and Houtlook. So it's like these like... So Houtlook is... So every basically day at 10 o'clock, I get like a push notification on my phone. It's like this brand like Vince, up to 50% off, shop now. And it's like these like sale events during certain time frames.
Okay. All right. So it's like an Amazon Prime Day where they have the things are on
almost
sale
like
for
mini
periods of
Prime
time.
Days.
Okay.
For it, but like all the time.
Awesome. And you get push notifications when that happens.
It's they let me know. It's usually 10 a.m. every day.
Okay.
Well, it's a great app.
I should download that. I like the consignment there. Anyway, those off-price sales, so discounted stuff, the value shopping, that was up 7.1% in the quarter. Comps up 4% on that side of thing, or on that side of the business. So an interesting trend to note that, you know, the premium, the luxury that we were talking about, not doing so good. Not horrible, but, you know, slumping. Mm-hmm. Whereas the value shopping, the discounted, the on-sale stuff, really a key catalyst for Nordstrom in the quarter.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this value shopping at Nordstrom, you're still getting designer
good stuff,
clothes,
good stuff.
But just at a discount.
Right. It's a little bit more accessible for everyone.
Right.
It's not quite the destination that the regular Nordstrom is. That being said, management raised its earnings per share and sales guidance for the full fiscal year. So again, as we've said a couple times now, you got to have the beat and raise quarter. Nordstrom got the beat and raise quarter and shares were up accordingly. So kind of a mixed bag from the department stores, just recapping it. Macy's down, JCPenney down big time, Nordstrom up on mixed results around the board. But I think if anything, we're seeing that the department stores are alive if you can pull it off. If you're doing good, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Nordstrom, not so good. Or JCPenney, not so good. So, but let's not, I think that's not the main takeaway there.
And we have a lot more retailers next week, like specialty retailers, Gap, TJX, TJ Maxx, bra stores.
And I think we should be able to see from there if the trend of like the value shopping and the discount shopping
absolutely
continues with solid results there. We'll know for sure. That being said, I think that just about does it for us this week. I'm looking at my notes. We got everything, so that's good. As a reminder, you can always shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. If you want us to cover something else, if you thought we missed anything, if you have any apps you would like me to download, I'm taking recommendations. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We're also now available on Spotify. If you get your podcasts there, search Zacks Investment Research. You'll be able to find all of our shows in one handy location. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time on Zacks Friday Finish Line.